The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just love on Jesus. Flow with that song. Flow with that song. Here I am. Here I stand, saturate my heart with your love. I want to love you more and more, more. Here I am. Here I stand. This weekend, that you let us see more and more of your love and bring our hearts to that place where we will commit to you the more and be all that you want us to be in you and with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Let us have another revelation of your love, Lord Jesus. Let it get better and better. In Jesus' name we pray. You want to shout a loud amen? Amen. Let me look to your left and look to your right. Listen, wait, and ask the person, have you been around throughout this weekend? Now get an answer from them. Now, if they say no, and you have been around, Say something of concern to them. Something of real concern. You can say it's a pity. You are really disadvantaged. Something of concern. But it's been a wonderful weekend. And this is not just what we say. It's been such a good one for the guys, for the ladies. You know, this is one meeting I always say, it turned out better than we expected. The teachings we are, how do they say it again, on point. The teachings were on point. And I heard the ladies had a good time in their picnic. And the men played their match yesterday. It was very interesting. I just say a little part of it, but it was good. Amen. And then last night was the climax of it all. Were you here yesterday night?
Yes, sir.
Such a mighty, mighty move of God's Spirit. You know the thing about missing meetings is, when you miss a meeting, you can go get the message and listen to it. But you see that experience you had in that meeting, you will never have it. Do you understand? That atmosphere yesterday. How many of you were here last night? That atmosphere, how do I even say it again? It's better felt than dealt. All right, that's the example. But it's better you feel it than that they tell you. You should have just been here yesterday. It looked like, from the opening prayer, from the worship, looked like God's glory was just tabernacling in this building. It was really awesome yesterday. And you can never have it if you are not here yesterday. Get the message, so it will bless you. Do you understand? But it can never be the same thing. Amen. And that's why it's a matter of correction. A believer should not miss meetings. The ideal thing in God's word is that in the book of Acts, they met every day. Today, we cannot meet every day. Do you get the point? We cannot meet every day. So we meet on Sundays and on Thursdays. Now, but there are special times we announce, since we can't meet every day, we can't have the impact they had. Let us make out 4 days, 5 days, 1 week. Those are special moments that God really works on us. And so if you miss those experiences, you are missing a whole lot. Are you getting the point? And the beauty about those meetings is the fact that we have time. My time is counted already. I have just 1 hour plus to be on the stage. 1 hour less than 10 minutes, and my message is over. But then, if it's last night or here yesterday, right? We had just last night, we had 2 teachings, right? With some interesting presence. You can't, it's not the same thing. With some electric impartations. Amen. It's not the same thing. Many of you got words that will shape your future yesterday. As I'm just going to encourage you, when there are meetings, be there. We should not be advertising our meetings to you. You don't need it. You should actually be telling other people. It should be part of your culture as a part of this family that when there is a Christian meeting coming up, you show up. And you show up from day one to the end. Christian meetings are what, you know, taking a break for. When we have meetings, one of the things I appreciate, for instance, this meeting, people didn't travel down. You know, we didn't make people stay in their centers and all that. But here, people traveled down. The likes of Mark came down from Omaha and the rest of them. When we have meetings like Zoe, you see people come from far. Last year, Zoe, people even came from outside the country. And do you know how much that costs to come in from outside the country for a 4 days meeting? That spells value. I get the point. So if people can travel down, take break from work, and come in, it shows the value what is happening. That's how you should be too. And so when there are Christian meetings, you must be around. Take break, take permission from work. Because the problem is, many of you are using work as an excuse. Okay, not many of us miss meetings. I'm saying the people that miss the meeting might use work as an excuse. But I tell you, it's a very lame excuse. Let me tell you why it's a lame excuse. You make it look like you're the only person working. Like we are not. Are any of you jobless? Even people that own their companies, some work for people and all of that. And to the glory of God, people work very good jobs here. Like very good jobs. I'm not talking about Texas and not a paying job. Right? I know people that work very good jobs here. To the glory of God. I know people that earn up to $1,000 here. Every month. And when there are meetings, they take permission and they're around. So that your excuse is weak. Because you keep missing meetings like that. When life really hits you, where are you going to draw yourself? Do you know the kind of thing God does in our meetings? Do you know that some of you, the Lord spoke to you about things that will happen in the next 6 months of your life? You might not even know. So with the strength to handle the challenge that will come up in December was delivered last night. Amen. You know the visions you saw. You know the pictures you saw. You know the things that happened to you. And I was talking to us yesterday about standing on your watchtower. You remember that? And I mentioned that one of the major watchtowers that you can stand on if you want to hear God is the company of the prophetic. Company of prophetic people. And that's what church does. That's why that sometimes you can be very confused. And you just tell yourself, don't worry, I'll just go to church. And it works like magic. Sometimes as you come to church, as that liftiness, immediately you're getting your answer. And so, please form that culture already. Is that okay? Of being around for Christian meetings. But those of us that were around, which is many of us actually, because when people hear me give the question, they say, it's like people didn't come. It's not true. If I know CC, sit down. I'm just giving the correction so that you that did not come, we know that you, we are wrong. Say amen. Amen. Glory to God. So this morning I'll just round up what we've been doing over the weekend. So if you have not been here from day one, and I want to round up what we've been doing, what exactly are we rounding up for you? Amen. Meanwhile, you guys look very amazing this morning. My God. You guys take style fine. That makes sense. Just say something nice to your neighbor. I mean, you guys are really looking very amazing. Please make sure you take picture before you leave. You look very fine. Don't waste your clothes. Praise God. Amen. Let's have our seat. I hope it's not cold this morning again. I don't think it's that cold. Moreover, most of us are on suit, so. Amen. It was in this meeting that I saw people wear suits and put sweater on it. Because the cold was too. Put on suit and put on sweater so you can understand what is happening. Amen. But like I said to the ladies yesterday, I am grateful to God that now we have to deal with cold. Do you remember when we were dealing with heat? From the old venue, even when we came to the first way we did in this venue. At the time when I was preaching, I was like, why are these people still inside this church? I used to wonder why you guys have not run away. And the place was so packed and the heat was. And the problem is that no matter how cold this place is, once we begin that our prayer, we begin to generate heat in this place. See, imagine where there is no AC and there were no fans. I think we put ceiling fans then. Amen. And everybody was generating that prayer with the energy shouting. It was very interesting. Those days when you get home, you spread your clothes. You squeeze it, water will come out. Now, that's not an exaggeration. How many of you experienced any of those meetings? You squeeze it when you get home, water will come out. It was that hot. So now we've not gotten the temperature we're looking for yet. Trust me on that. You should not mean it when I say it. The best thing that may have an idea of what I'm saying is maybe mom. Because we've gone to some meetings, I tell her, this is the temperature. Sometimes you are in church and then you wrap your hand. Feeding on the word. I notice when you sit under a very cool system, you wouldn't know time is counting. That's the truth. You just cool. You don't know time is counting. Don't worry, we're not going to kill you. We just want you to learn the word. Amen. So I don't know what that's what I'm doing today, but like I said, I'm rounding up what I've been doing throughout the weekend. So the whole weekend we've had sessions that dealt with every aspect of our Christian life, of our life generally. On Thursday, you know, we dealt with a lot of things from teaching the man on leadership, how to run family, to talking about healing the male child. On Thursday, we were dealing with anger. Remember that? Anger management. If you're a man and you miss that Thursday, this thing, God help yourself. Oh. Looking at anger management with men, healing the male child. Then on Friday, we began with the women and we looked at things like, what are those teachings? Huh? The woman from God's net. I know that. I'm just thinking of the other teachings that came before that. Amen. There were teachings on decisions without distractions. Yes. There's a teaching on why you need to attend to the Lord without distraction. And then later with the men also, we touched things around money and compromise, how to make money and be established financially without compromise, without having to soil your hands. And then we touched other things around men's health. And that was a very powerful session. And then and all of that. And then the ladies, we looked at the money factor too. You know, how to make money also without compromise. Then the health talks. And all of this. And of course, there was the picnic. If you observe what we are trying to do with this perfect lady and man up, we are trying to touch every aspect of your life. From your spiritual life to your academics to your health. I guess anybody to your social life. People wonder, why did we have that picnic? Your social life. Which is very important to God. I follow me. Why did we play the ball yesterday? Well, your social life and then your health too. It's when we get to those fields that you find out that some men in the past 1 year have not run from that place to that place in the past 1 year. So some of them, once they just run for 15 minutes, they're breathing so hard. And so, yes, the mom began by telling us that God is interested in our general well-being. God is not just interested in your spiritual life. In as much as that is the most important thing he wants for you, he's also interested in other parts of your life. 3 John verse 2 tells us, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Now, that word prosper there is a very strong word. It's not just talking about money. It means, if I sometimes say that you have a successful journey, it means that you are successful in whatever endeavor you engage in. Give me like NLT or other translation. You will not use prosper. Say, dear friend, I hope that all is well with you. So when you say that you may prosper, it's not just talking about having money. Give me like Amplify Classic. I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well. I want another one, maybe Message NIV and all of that. Message said, we are the best of friends and pray for good fortune in everything you do. So, the passage calls it good fortune. You get the point? And so, when you see that you may prosper, you're not just talking about money. It means you may be well in everything you do. So that you may prosper, you now said, and be in health. That, so, the prosperity you're talking about there covers your entire life. Being in health, he now singles it out. He now said, even as thy soul prospereth. That one now talks about your spiritual well-being. So John was saying to the guys, I want you to be totally fine. I want your spiritual life to be fine. But even as that is happening, I want you to be well-to-do. To have a successful endeavor. I want that if you are running your business, that you will do well. I want that if you are going to school, that you come out as the best. I want you to also be in health. Even as your soul is prospering. So I don't just want your soul to prosper while every other part of you suffers. And that's what God wants, was trying to show us throughout this weekend and even from mom's teaching yesterday. So you look at Jesus, for instance, in Luke 2 verse 52, the Bible said he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and man. And there are many ways I can explain this. He grew in wisdom. We could say he developed intellectually.
Right? And that's one of the prayers I tell parents to pray over their children, this verse. Learn to put hands on your children and tell them, you will grow in wisdom. You will grow in stature. You will grow in favor of God and man. So he said, wisdom. When he said he grew in stature, what does it mean? Huh? Physically. He was physically strong and growing and healthy. There is not, this verse is not actually very, we say, but is it not spiritual wisdom he's talking about? No, he said he grew in wisdom. Give me like an NLT of this verse. Another translation. Hallelujah. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Another translation. Let's see if there's anyone that explained it further. Wisdom and stature. Okay, look at it. Jesus increased in wisdom. He said in broad and full understanding. So Jesus was not a dull person in class. Do you know what I'm trying to say? He was that mentally, fully mentally developed. I pray this prayer over our son all the time. So you will grow in wisdom. That is full mental development. Full psychological development. You're not going to be a dullard. I get the point. I said Jesus grew like that. He increased in wisdom, then in stature. And yes, so physically, Jesus was growing well too. And I said in favor with God. In favor with man. And I could tell you, in favor with God, we'll talk about how that he had a very strong walk with God. And then men also favored him. So his social life was also very strong. And you see the plan of God for us. Everything is implicated. Are you following me? Everything is implicated. Now, why is God interested in our lives? Because there are a lot of things people say, which I don't have time to get into that argument. I've heard Christians argue that some pastors, well-meaning people do, argue that God really is not interested in anybody's... No, it's not like he doesn't care about us, but that he's not directly committed to your affairs. That all that matters to him is that you do well spiritually. Then if you want to make money, you go and walk. If you want to be healthy, you go and take your drugs. You know, that's not actually correct. God is very committed to the physical well-being of his people. Although the most important thing he wants for them is that they are well spiritually. That's when you come to church, where we put our emphasis in this church is on your spiritual well-being. Spiritual growth, love work, prayer life. That's where we put our emphasis. But we also know that God is interested in the other ones. Are you following me? In fact, if you look at, let's leave creation. Because mom was talking about creation yesterday. If you look at everything God has made available for us in Christ, you cannot doubt that he's interested in our physical well-being. Look at, for instance, the name of Jesus and the authority it has. The fact that it can change anything. Why would God give us a name or give us power to work miracles that can change things on the outside if he's not interested in those things? It means he knows that one day your finance may go bad and you will need the name. I feel what I'm saying. And why is he interested in that? I can give you a few reasons. Number one, because he loves us as a father. Every father will be interested in the children's well-being. Every father. That's where it's in Matthew 7 verse 7. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And verse 9, or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? He said, if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11, and if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your father? So you notice, the first reason God wants to give you good things, why he's committed, because he's your father. Every father will be interested in the son's marriage. Every father will be interested in the son's well-being, in the son's health. So God is interested in your health. Are you following me this morning? He's interested in your happiness, in your marriage, in your career. That's the first reason, because he's your father. But I can also give you a second reason why God is really interested in your physical life. It is because your physical and your general well-being will aid the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. That this is the connection people don't seem to make. Because if you are on the sick bed, if I was on the sick bed, I won't be preaching this and I'm preaching this morning. Are you what I'm talking about? Your general well-being will aid the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take for instance, like I've already said, your health. If your health is bad, there is not much you can do in the ministry. So when you see us emphasizing on health, why God wants us to be healthy is because we will need our help to carry ministry. Yes, we carry anointing or whatever on our inside, but this body is the container that carries it. So if this body is bad, everything you have cannot be delivered. It's just like when there is a big fuel tank that transports fuel from one point to another. Technically speaking, the most important thing is not the tank, it is the fuel inside. But if that tank goes bad, the fuel cannot get where it is getting to. Are you getting the point? So hear what I'm going to say. Investing in your health as a believer is actually being ministry conscious. Investing in your health, for instance, as a man of God, one of the ways I show that I care about you as members of this church is that I'm paying attention to my health. And I tell my pastors here, they will tell you, you know, some of them, that I normally say, you can't be traveling at night. You can't be living that kind of lifestyle. Don't you know there are people under your watch? I always say that. Because if you are conscious of the fact that there are people under your watch, and that if anything happens to you, a lot of people are going to go pastorless or go mentorless. Are you following me this morning? So you begin to invest in your health, because your health, your physical well-being, your being healthy and ministry are closely connected. Let me show you. Philippians 2 verse 25. We read about the man called 2:25, please. About the man called Epaphroditus, whichever one. He said, yet I suppose it's necessary. Watch, follow the story. To send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. So this guy was a brother, a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Now, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. So the guy was sick. Paul said, for indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. He said, but God had mercy on him. Not only on him, but on me also. So Paul is saying that Epaphroditus recovering from his sickness was a way of God showing mercy to him, Paul. I get what I'm saying? Are you following me, friends? Because if anything happens to you, there are people connected to your life. Yes. I told you guys of the young man that died in Brother Hagin's church. And Brother Hagin got there, knelt over him, and began to pray. The only prayer he was praying is, Lord, this one is still important to me here. And the guy got up from the dead. Because his presence was important to his pastor. And that's what Paul was saying here. So you can imagine Paul praying and saying, Lord, have mercy on me by raising this boy, because he's so important to me. Are you getting the point? So your well-being is important to me because of what you are going to do in the ministry. Because if you are down and you are sick and anything happens to you, are you getting the point? I know we say everybody is replaceable. Well, everybody is replaceable, but listen, it takes time for God to raise people. Do you know what I said? Raising people is not easy. It takes time to produce a prophet. It takes time to produce someone that can pastor a church. So that's why a wise pastor knows that the ones you've produced, you protect them. Members know that too. You protect your pastors because their health is important for the ministry. And that's why you that God is raising, you protect yourself to pay attention to your health, because that health is important to God. Not just to God, but to the people that he has put over your life and also put under you. So, well, let's see this. Next verse 28. He said, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, he may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Now see verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh, talk to me, he was not regarding his life. So what made Epaphroditus sick? Ministry. Are you following me? That sickness that he had was because he was, in fact, give me like other translations. There's one that said he has added his life. For he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do. So he's telling the Philippian church, you guys wanted to do more, wanted to serve me and attend to me, but you guys were not close by. So Epaphroditus carried all that work on himself, running up and down, serving the anointed. Are you good what I'm saying? He said it was in the course of that he almost died, that he became sick. So actually, ministry, when you do not watch your health, it could make you sick. So Paul had to really, really pray, because he was about to lose a faithful soldier. Is all following me this morning? Are you following me this morning? Did you leave your voice at home? Am I preaching in Platform of Grace this morning?
Yes, sir.
I thought I left. Glory to God. Give me a translation like Amplified Classic. He said, for it was through working for Christ that he came so near death, risking his very life, to complete deficiencies in your service to me. Message Bible. Remember the ministry to me that you started out. You started, but you weren't able to complete. Well, in the process of finishing it up, he put his life on the line and nearly died doing it. And so people can stretch to that point. That's why we tell pastors, take your rest. That's why we tell you, as someone that God is raising, except you don't see yourself as though you are important in God's agenda. If anything happens to me today, and nothing is going to happen, it is not just my family that will be affected. Many families around the world will be affected. That is how you must see yourself. You are important in God's agenda. And because you are important in God's agenda, not just people now, it's not just people that are alive today that will be affected. There are people God has positioned that in your next 20 years, you'll be a blessing to them. Are you following me? Allow messing with your health at this point will affect those people. Because when anything happens to you, that will be it. So you look at the likes of Pastor Kumuyi, Pastor Adeboye, and the rest of them. Why they are still blessing the world is because they are healthy. They can stand at that age and preach. And that's why we do this kind of business, that believers must pay attention to their health. Not out of carnality, but out of understanding their purpose and their assignment on earth. So when we preach long life, it's not just because we just want to be on earth and refuse to die. It's because there is so much to be done. And our being alive and being healthy will aid that thing. Amen. Another example I can give you, for instance, is money. When you are doing well financially, if you actually understand why, then it can aid the spread of the gospel. Because the gospel in itself needs a lot of money to do well. A lot of money. And so you notice that a believer who is honestly investing himself in his business, honestly, why doing ministry? If he is a trained believer, that is financial success will aid the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways. For instance, that is financial success can be given to the church, and then big things are happening. 100 million, 300 million. Projects are going up all over the place. More men are hearing the gospel. That money, for instance, can be used to put up. I was telling mom, you know, sometime last month about a vision the Lord put in our hearts, which I will still share with you when the time comes. And that vision alone, one way, one part of it is going to cost over 10 million naira. And it's going to happen next year. And it's not church building. I mean pure missions. Pure missions. Let me even give you a hint of it. Taking where there are many crusades that will happen next year. And what the Lord put in my heart is, when we get to the place, there will be high power, when I mean high power crusade, crusades that will cost millions, bring in the best of sounds and all of that, do this best of publicity. In the night sessions will be miracle crusades. In the morning sessions will be massive free medical checkup and free medical treatment for everybody. And while that is going on, there is a special skill acquisition, whatever, going on for the youths in a different facility. Morning session, we go like that. Night session, we come for the miracle crusade. And we ran the analysis, over 10 million naira for just one part of it to be accomplished. And we will see it in our days. So when I'm talking about money, so you see, a believer working hard is doing the ministry good. That's why Paul said, if anybody will not work, make it no chop. Because you are spoiling things for us. Are you what I'm talking about? You are slowing down what we want to do. You are slowing it down. And when I mean free medical care, I'm not talking about just check them for malaria. Complete medical care, free drugs. Thank God we have some health professionals here. We'll bring in more. Free drugs giving, eye checks, all of those things. We're going to deploy the resources we have, bring in the medications. Are you getting the point? So in the morning, we convert the field to a hospital. In the night, we convert the field to a miracle ground. Amen. And it's been strong in my heart like that. The next one is coming, the first one is coming next year. I'm going to take that meeting everywhere. Each of those meetings, and I was telling my wife, I said, I mean myself and her, will sponsor one. Completely. From beginning to end. So you guys have money, we have. That's what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm talking about? So I'm not talking about you making money to throw it around. If you understand what ministry is, when we are talking about money, work hard, you find out it is for the good of the ministry. It's not just for you to be able to enjoy your life. So a believer who is investing himself in his work and his business, if he's a trained believer, he's doing the ministry good. Think of how much we can use. Think of how many free Bibles that we can distribute in such meetings. Think of 10,000 people seated and we are distributing Bibles to everybody that came. Are you guys what I'm talking about? Yes. And it's not long, it's not far from here. It's not far from here. So that is a lot more. Some of these meetings you organize, do you know how much they cost? Thursday to Sunday, do you know how much went into Thursday to Sunday? It's not in hundreds of thousands, sir. I mean this, in quotes, small meeting. And I'm talking about Enugu here. Think of every other center. And have, because as we were spending here, every other center, they were spending simultaneously. So if we gather everything that's gone into this weekend, you are counting in millions of naira. And what is the result of that? You have been blessed, right? You've been taught. You've learned. And so when we say believe, when we say God is better with your finances, if you are not careful, you will think we are just being materialistic. But if you are well taught, you can make a connection between that statement and ministry. You will see that when you are serious in your work, in your workplace, you are doing the ministry good. Except you are a poorly trained or an untrained believer. Are you what I'm talking about? Because if you are untrained as a believer, when you make your money, you chop them. Do you understand? As it's coming, you are eating, you are living large. Most people, the only thing they know about making money, anytime you think about being rich, they're thinking of getting their lifestyle, upgrading their lifestyle. Well, there is nothing wrong with upgrading your lifestyle. But if that is all your money will do, let me tell you, you don't need much money. Yeah, that's true. How much will it cost to upgrade your lifestyle? Some few millions, and you're doing well. When we are talking about causing your money to begin to make your money to make generational impact. We're talking about hundreds of millions, billions. You know, if it's about upgrading your lifestyle, you just need a few millions, which 10 million, 50 million, you're already balling. But if we're talking about where your money becomes more, I just told you over 10 million to hold that crusade. Because that's actually a small crusade. As I said, 10 million. And don't look at me like that. To bring a crusade that is going to gather a city, you're going to spend up to a billion naira. And I am not exaggerating, sir. I'm not. So if all you're thinking about is eating, you will get there soon. That is not hard. It's not to be eating two meats. Two big meats. That one is not hard. He says, I'm looking forward to the one I'm eating full chicken. Don't worry. God will do it. You are even very close. You can buy it today. There is more. Are you following me, friends? There is more. I've said it before and I'm saying it again. That the time is coming and it's not far from now. When, as we want to plant a church, one believer will say, sir, give me location. Let me build the church from beginning to build the building. So we're planting the church, they're moving into their own building. Now, that is what we're talking about. It's not about getting 10,000 so that you can begin to remain meetings. That's why when I say all these people, they say, I'm doing Yahoo and spending money, I always say, have you guys seen money? The day you see money, you don't know. The day you see money. The day you see real money that men are spending for Jesus. When there was an issue, was it in what country? Was Afghanistan or one of the countries where there was an issue? Governments were trying to send people to go and rescue people there. Kenneth Copeland's ministry was sending planes, their own personal ministry planes. What government of countries you are doing, the ministry as a church was going to rescue people. So we're talking about money, you are talking about you saw 3 million naira and your head is big. Bring it together. God has bigger plans. God wants your money to have eternal relevance. You know, money is earthly. It starts and ends here. But your money can have eternal relevance because it can be used to do something that will affect people in eternity. So what am I saying? Your general well-being will aid the ministry. Apart from all these things I've said, think of other things. Think of how many believers you can help financially. Because it's still part of ministry, right? Think of how many believers you can help financially. Think of people you can build a house for and just hand over key to them. I noticed this brother has been serving very faithfully in church, but it's not so well for him. Secretly, just build a house, 3-bedroom flat, apartment, furnish it to the end, call him secretly and say, the Lord said I should give you this key. Think about that. Think of the joy you will bring to many families. So when we are investing in our finance, we're saying, take it seriously. It's not being, it can be carnality. But if you are well taught, it shouldn't be. If you really understand the purpose of money for the believer. Think of, I was talking about taking care of your pastor a few minutes ago. Think of how much you can do for your pastor. Do you know why church people, you know, I was telling the men on was it the men? On Thursday, right? Do you know why people love their pastors too much? You know, many people online are angry at how pastors are being loved. Why are you on Thursday? Was it on Thursday or on Friday? I explained that. Friday evening. There is a reason. The reason is because pastors are builders. A pastor picks someone. The person walks into church casually, not having direction. Pastor begins to invest. They teach you, correct you. Some people say, when they enter the church, they have no plan of going to school. It's the pastor for school. Go and buy jam. Take this money, buy jam. Report to me. If you don't write this jam, I'll kill you. The man builds. Some people stay committed to you for life. Do you know why they will now take care of that pastor? They have seen what he has done for them. They want him to be alive to do it for many other people. I feel what I'm talking about. They want many other people to benefit from it. And they know that if we do not make this man comfortable and anything happens to him, you see what the men of David said to him. David went out, remember that story? He went out to battle with them. And while he was in the battlefield, one man, Ishbenob, I think that's his name. Ishbenob. Do you know who Ishbenob is? Who is Ishbenob? A relative of Goliath. That Goliath that David killed as a teenager. That thing has been in their thing, they pained them. So when they saw David in the battle, the guy did not focus on the battle. He focused on David. Go back, give me the previous verse. Verse 16. And Ishbenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He being gathered with a new sword, thought to have slain David. In fact, he thought he had already killed him. Give me like an NLT. He just said, thought to have slain him. He said he had cornered David and was about to kill him. Do you understand the point? Now see the next verse. And Abishai. Who is Abishai? One of those guys that David gathered in the cave. I was raising. It's what fellow I'm talking about. He got up and slew the guy. And succored him. I mean, covered him up, killed the guy. Then the man of David went to him and said, you're no more following us to battle. Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle. That thou quench on the light of Israel. That's what members do for their pastors. Some people are angry. So they can say, pastor, from now on, you are doing too much. The way you are stressing yourself. In fact, we don't want you to work in the house again. You and your wife, relax. We're going to employ house helps. They say, you people are worshipping the pastor. They were worshipping David. I get what I'm saying? Because they know that if they don't protect this guy, there are many Ishbenobs. Yeah, that we come from the past. You know, pastors fight a lot of battles. And you are fighting, and that's why I want to say to you, maybe going back to what I told the men. You see, men, let me tell women too. Be a leader. Raise people. If you invest so much in people, the later days of your life where you can no longer fight, those people will fight for you. It's a very simple thing. Because there are battles you fight in your past that are waiting for you when you are weaker. So members know to protect the pastor. So think of how much your money can do for a man that God has sent to you. So I'm saying it again. That being committed to your work and investing in your finance, if you're a well-taught believer, is aiding the ministry. It is. Are you following me? I can give you many other examples. Good marriage. I'm just saying your general well-being will aid the ministry. If you have a healthy, healthy marriage, it will aid the ministry in many ways. So how? Because it is easier to preach when you've slept calmly in the arm of a man that loves you. And you wake up the next morning with clear head. It's easier to win souls. Yes, sir. It's easier than to wake up after being punched. You now use makeup and cover it. Put on black glass. It's easier. And they say you should come and lead worship. You carry mic. They will think that you are singing unto the Lord. The song will now become, if you had allowed the enemy to... You are thinking about last night. Oh, yeah, come, Gakoro. It's easier to serve the Lord when he's doing with all good at home. It's easier. That's why contend for your marriage. Because if your marriage is sound, ministry will be helped. If your marriage is sound. So when you see us call meetings like this, don't say, I'm not going to attend. I will only go for the ones where they're teaching us on how to do ministry. Okay? Taking care of your health is doing ministry. It's helping ministry. Having a solid marriage is helping ministry. Look at how I'm doing this thing I'm doing here. See how I'm preaching? Very freely. Have a good home. Totally. And I'm telling you. And it affects you. Do you know the kind of stress that you go through for ministry? Even till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. this morning, I was still awake. And it's been like that for weeks. Yeah, Pastor Mark, I understand when you say chronic stress. I'm not chronically stressed. For weeks like that, no sleep. Imagine doing all of that, staying awake, studying the Bible, and after everything, you wake up in the morning, and they don't greet you. Do you understand? You wake up, and yeah, instead of you to be conserving your energy to preach, you are looking for somebody's face. I'm sorry now. I'm sorry now. I'm saying, please, stay, you've done your own. Stay. I'm sorry now. Follow up and down from bedroom to kitchen. I'm sorry now. Please now. No, not me, oh. I don't have energy. Even God knows that I don't have energy. I will leave you. I don't have energy for that kind of thing. A few sorry should be enough. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Yes. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't be difficult. Which one is sorry now? Sorry, I'm sorry now. Please now. It's okay. I'm sorry now. And let me tell you, ladies, amen. Decide to be a plus to your husband or your wife's ministry. Don't be the one that will destabilize a man at work. Mess with his psych so much. He goes to work, he's no more focused. Why is that work focused? He's sending you a text. I'm sorry. I'll be a better man for you. Yeah, well, at work. Make this thing easy for all of us. There is no joy in being troublesome as a man. If you're a man, give your wife so much comfort at home that when it's stressful at home, at work, she wants to run home. How do they even say it again? Because home is a person. Praise God. So, but I'm laughing with this, but it's actually very serious. A healthy marriage will help the ministry many, many ways. In many ways that you can think of. I've seen things. So we've gone to invite a man for a meeting to preach, not to invite him, to pick him for a meeting. And we spent some hours downstairs because he was begging the wife at upstairs to allow him. Say, mommy, beacon. Real story. And you know, women are interested. He said, let's say you should not go now. And if you, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for good men, sha. We get some men go be say, go now, I should go, but you said it. Get your Bible and just go. But the man wants to make sure everything is good at home. We spent over an hour downstairs waiting. Now, I'm not sure whether they knew that we heard them and they're part of that. So he came back, he came down with his suit. He said, sorry, you had a little delay. Let's go. I said, yes. Was indeed a little delay. And that's why when we say marry well, it's not just because we're trying to control you or whatever. We want to make sure that this, your life, is preserved. Do you know that people in bad marriages have the risk of dying early? And I'm telling you, health, medically proven. Let me even say this to you. Marrying wrongly, marrying a man or a woman that steals your peace, is hating on yourself. It is hating on the church. It is hating on ministry. You are being wicked to us, to yourself, to me as your pastor, for everything I've invested in you, because you want to die young. That's the point. So what I'm doing all of this so they can marry somebody that will be punching you. So that one day we just found out they have died. Say he slept and didn't wake up. Not here. Because, you know, one thing Pastor Micah said 2 days ago, men, we don't say too much about men's mental health and the emotional stress they go through. And most of those stresses contributed by the women in their lives. And I can say it to them because I'm a pastor and I sit with people and I talk with them. The stress women contribute, now I'm not talking about women, I love the women, but you know that. The stress women contribute to the life of called men can take them easily. And that's not to make an excuse for anybody for drinking or for being stupid. But most men in the beer palace are running away from home. I saw something on Facebook yesterday. I don't believe it. I don't believe it anyway. The guy posted he posted himself and said, I want to start living with my girlfriend. I want to bring my girlfriend to live with her. Do you have any advice for me? You know these people catching cool. It's content anyway. And you see people's comments. The other one said, it's fine. Very soon, the bedroom will be your favorite place. Do you know what that means? Very soon, you will spend a lot of time in the toilet. Very soon, you will be working more time at work. You will soon know what the table looks like. You know what I try to tell him, if you don't worry, they will show you shaggy. But not the women I'm raising here, sir. Right? Not the women I'm raising here. What do you mean spending more time in the toilet? You know what I'm trying to say? Because they will pursue you so much that I just said in the toilet, lock the door. And just sit down there and be to understand what is happening around. You won't marry like that. I'm not saying your marriages will not have, I'm not saying you will not have issues in marriage. Okay, but then it shouldn't be a constant thing. Let me even tell some of you, if you're doing a relationship here with anybody and you guys are having heated quarrel 3 or 4 times in a week, don't do that marriage. Get help first before you do that marriage. Submit that marriage and that relationship. I am warning you. Because it is not about to get better in marriage. I don't know who lied to you about that. I'm not saying people cannot marry. I mean, get what is help you get? Meet someone that can counsel both of you and pass both of you through process. You guys are still doing relationship. You're not yet living together in the same house. I people quarrel 4 times in a week. Not like disagreement, like quarrel. Full-blown quarrel. Where you are sending tests. Say, I know that I may not have been the best lady for you, but I want to make it right now. Please now, please now. Why are you blocking me everywhere? Why are you blocking me everywhere? If you block me on Instagram and block me on Facebook, how can I now reach you? If we don't talk, how can we make this right? Relationship. So the question is, if someone blocks you on WhatsApp and whatever, when you guys are still in relationship, when you guys are now together, you guys quarrel, what do you think is going to happen? The person will leave the house. Do you understand? The person will say, I want some time off in marriage. If this message is paining you, it is supposed to. If it is paining you, then you are the exact reason that God is making me say what I'm saying. You know why? It can be better. It can be better. Mom said yesterday, one of the vows we made when we wanted to get married is that we will not have a caricature marriage. We will not have a marriage that people laugh at. We have a marriage where we will laugh, where we will fight, beat up ourselves on the outside, and we hold hands while walking into church and say, smile, that watching us. I'm not going to have that kind of marriage. Do you understand the point? And what makes it possible? I can tell you simply, spiritual growth. Just be growing spiritually, be getting better in your walk with God. I get the point. When you grow better, get better in your love walk. Because for real, if you are someone that knows how to really know how to forgive, it will reflect in your marriage. If you already know how to be kind, you will carry it over to your marriage. I follow what I'm saying. So you see, a healthy marriage is a plus to us as a church. And I can touch any other aspect of life. When you have a good job, it's a plus to us. When you do well in your studies, it's a plus to us. You know, another reason why it's good for you to take your general well-being seriously is because, you see, God takes the glory when you are doing well generally. In many ways, one of the ways that happens is that unbelievers and even believers alike will look at you and want to follow you. You know, doing well in your career will not get anybody saved. But doing well in your career can position you to get people saved. There are people that just want to listen to you because you're a successful person. I get the point. And I talk about Coscaris sometimes. You know Coscaris? Yeah. If that man, you know, they're inviting him to speak in many places. He just has money. Good thing is that he's also a solid believer. So many people invite him and not invite him because he can preach. He's just the money. To think that such a man still goes on street evangelism, they're challenged. And so you do well as a student, for instance. There are people that just because you're a smart, bright student, they are coming close to you. I know what I'm talking about. They want to ask you questions. And if you are now a well-trained believer, that becomes a platform for you to be a blessing to them. It's all following me this morning. Just because at work, that's what I'm going to say to you guys. When you get to your workplace, be excellent. Be the one winning staff of the week, staff of the month. If you know how proud I feel when some of my people here send me all those certificates, Daddy, they gave me staff of the month, most outstanding staff of the week. I am always excited because that thing is a testament. And there are many of them that become excellent at work like that. I have observed they find it very easy to invite people from their place of work to church. Very easy. Because people are not as spiritual as you are. They are carnal. You get the point? They do everything with what they see. So all they are thinking of, this one is succeeding. One of the men, when we were trying to get church, one of the men that I met along the line, very, very wealthy guy. And they say, Nugu. Very wealthy guy, but a solid believer. Amen. Now, I think, who did I go with? Was it you? Yes, again. We left that place, and again, they told me that they are sure it's this big thing that will make it. Because if you hear the figures, he said, I have one Landell, it's 400 million. I have another one down there. He said, that one, come, let me show you. I have a farm down just by the side. You see, farm. Small place covered in a very choice area of this town. Fenced one small place and is farming with it. He said, if you want to buy this one, it's up to 400-500 million. Do you want to buy it? You know, when we left that place, one of the guys was telling me that all those figures he's calling is because he doesn't actually want to sell, that he doesn't know the current price of that land. Told me that that land is worth over 1.5 billion with the current state of things in the market. But the guy is a believer. When I was speaking with him, because that brought our relationship, so I was speaking with him, he was just telling me, he said, I used to tell this my cousin. I told him, look at my life. Is my life not working? Don't you like how my life is? Come to church so that your life will work. You know, these things can aid some things. He said, you know me. You know our father. My father was poor. Your father was poor. I found Jesus as a teenager. I followed him. See what he has made of me. You. I said, come, let me be driving you to church every day. I'm telling you. So, when people succeed in their career and they are well taught, it can be a plus. Are you following me? So, my counsel for you as we round up this meeting is that you must know that God wants you to have all around success, and you must understand the purpose of the success. It's not for you to flaunt it or to rub it on people's face. It is so that with the success you are getting or you're recording, it will aid the ministry. It will bring glory to God. Paul told them, I think that's, is it 1 Timothy 6? Verse 1. Check it. I'm not sure. First Timothy 6, verse 1. Put it on the screen. Yes, I'm correct. He said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. He's saying, when you are working under someone as an employee, he said, behave well in that place. Why? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So there is a way you can act in your place of work. God's name will be blasphemed. Even the message you preach will be blasphemed. You act in the same way. The small thing they say is, look at them. Once saved, always saved. See how they're acting. I get the point. See them. Eternal salvation. Grace. Grace people. See what I think. You see, what you are standing for, which is the truth, is now being blasphemed on account of your irresponsibility at work. I get the point. So that when you are saying, we carry ministry for head, we carry it on the head, they check your results, you are making A's. So they cannot say, all these church people that are failing in school, your result is better than their own. So that's why they cannot blaspheme the name of the Lord. So they wouldn't say, you are following them to parties. They wouldn't say, you are not doing ministry. They wouldn't just say, that you are failing in school. So you notice, having a successful life is a big, big plus to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then you must understand why you need that. That's why I explained that. It's not just for you to flaunt it. You must understand why. Amen. And if I'm going to close, I'm going to tell you, this is why I'm going to ask you to learn how to blend faith and natural principles. Faith and natural principles. Because somebody asked the question on Friday during the health class. The person was like, I thought we are faith people. Why are they teaching us health? Don't drink plenty water. Don't do this. Now, there is a connection between faith and natural principles. Walk in faith for what it truly is, but don't ignore natural principles. Because when you live by, let me give an example. When you are releasing your faith for your finances, and you are working hard, what you are showing is that you really believe what you are saying. Because when you are saying, I claim extra coming in, my increase is here, and then you wake up on Monday morning, you don't go to work, don't invest in your business, actually you do not believe what you are saying. Let me give an example. If you are leaving the house today and you've prayed, Father, I want rain to fall. I want rain to fall. And I'm releasing my faith that the rain is going to fall. What will be the sign that you want rain to fall? That you believe rather that rain will fall? You will carry an umbrella. So when you see you carry an umbrella, you say, why carry an umbrella? It's because I believe that rain will fall. Because I've prayed. That is where we connect faith and natural principles. So when we say, invest in your health, don't play with your health. You say, I'm a faith person. What you are saying is, declare the word as much as you can. Learn God's word on faith. And while you are doing that, make sure you are not careless with your health. Because actually, faith is not... There are a few things faith is not. I don't have time to get into that this morning. Faith, for instance, is not foolishness. Faith is not denial. Faith is not to find out that you have sickness in your body and you say, I don't have it. I'm not sick. Faith is not to have an empty pocket and you say, my pocket is full. The Bible never said we should deny our situation. The Bible says that we should confront it. Mark 11:23, if you shall say to this mountain, it's not where you get to the mountain, you say, as far as I'm concerned, there is no mountain there. There is a mountain. Say to the mountain. So faith is not denial. Are you following me this morning? You don't say, as far as I'm concerned, there's no mountain here. Can you see mountain? Say, yes, it's your mind. There's no mountain. No. There is a mountain. Say to the mountain. When you are sick, God saying, oh, said, I'm not sick. You are. But say to the sickness. Face the sickness. Ask it to go. That's how faith actually works. Faith is not denial. Faith does not fight against natural principles. Faith does not say, for instance, that if you are believing God for success in your studies, you will not read your books. That's not what faith said. Faith does not say that if you are believing God for your health, that you will not take your medication seriously. Imagine a pregnant woman, because we've had this in our country a lot some years ago. Somebody that said, we don't take drugs. So you say pregnant woman who will refuse to take her medications because she's a faith person. That is not faith. That's actually foolishness. The Bible said in Proverbs 18:9, I think with the Amplified Classic Version, it said, he who will not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him that commits suicide. Look at that. Say, he who is slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. And he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. I follow what I'm saying. So can we take drugs? Yes. But can we rely on drugs alone? No. That's why whether you're taking drugs or not, make sure you put God's word on your lips and you're speaking it. You know, when you're speaking God's word on your lips, even if you're taking drugs, you are reminding yourself again and again that my faith is not in these drugs. That if later in the future they say you've been diagnosed with a sickness that has no medical cure, your heart will not shake. Because all the while you've been telling yourself, my faith is not in these drugs. Do you get what I'm talking about here? So pregnant women, take your drugs, but remind yourself, God is the one protecting me and my baby. And speaking to yourself all the time. That if you ever get to the hospital on that day and they start talking rubbish, you know what you know. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? Ken W. Hagin was telling a story. Not Ken W. Hagin now, that's his son. Was telling a story of when he gave birth to his son. Do you understand? That is Kenneth E. Hagin, who is the main brother Hagin. That is Kenneth W. Hagin, which is the son to brother Hagin. And that is Craig Hagin. That's brother Hagin's grandson. So when Craig Hagin now is a pastor, he's a big pastor. He was even in Nigeria last month. So when he was born, he grew to a point and they discovered that there was a big tumor in his brain. Big tumor in his brain. He told it to himself. That's Kenneth. Big tumor in his brain. And it was so big. It was already almost at the point of death. He said when they told him in the hospital, he told that they need to do a surgery as soon as possible. He told them to wait. Then the father came, the wife came, and he told the doctor, just give us 2 days. So they went home, prayed. Believed God. After 2 days, the tumor was still there. Right? They went to the hospital and believed God for a good surgery. That's not faithlessness. If you say it's faithlessness, the boys are doing ministry. He said when they were doing the surgery, the power of God, you just know that it was beyond supernatural. It was beyond natural. They were believing God while the surgery was going on. He said the power of God was so much even in that surgery room. That a nurse who was standing there, part of surgery, was healed of back pain when surgery was going on. I get the point. So they did the surgery. Of course, this I'm telling you is sweet now, but they were dragged. He said it. They dragged them all over the faith movement then. How can people of faith allow their son to go through surgery? Faith is not against medicine, though. He said, I'm believing God. He said, they did the surgery to a point. They kept trying to deal with one. There was something they were meant to remove, but it wasn't working. So when the doctors tried and tried, it was a 12-hour surgery. Tell you a serious thing, 12 hours. When the doctors tried and tried to remove that stuff, it didn't work. They just said, well, let them cover. That is, they've tried. But you know what happened? As they kept confessing the word, by the time they ran a scan again, that particular part has gone by itself. They said if you do that surgery, normally the head will not come back to normal. But in less than a few days, the head had readjusted. Everything had covered up. The doctor said that is the most seamless surgery they've ever had. So, was it faith at work? Yes. I feel what I'm saying. So you don't abandon your book. Say, Pastor, when you prayed for us in church, you told us, So I'll just read small. You told us, minimum effort, maximum result. So I just read small. Just read small and God will maximize the rest. I'm not the one that taught you. When we say minimum effort, maximum result, we are saying put in your best. But when you are done putting in your best, consider the best you've put in as minimum. And trust that God will give maximum results. What do you think? Some of my people that are here, that are medical doctors now and all of that, do you know, ask some of them when they wrote their MDs. That some of them are made to read for 10 hours daily. Some read 12 hours daily till they pass the exam. Daily. So I would give my 12 hours. I'm very serious. So I had to monitor it. So wake up by 4. Read from 4 to 7. Go to school, come back. We must make it 10 to 12 in a day. With prayer, with faith. I get what I'm talking about. Because there are also people that read like that and failed. I get what I'm saying. That's the balance between faith and natural principle. That faith is not against natural principles. Faith is not to have your child sick and you say we're not going to treat you. Stay on the word. Stay on the word. You know, when I was younger as a Christian, it helped also that many times I practiced as a young person. The room where we stayed, where I stayed in school at the time, my third year, we banned medication in that room. You did not bring in even paracetamol into that room. So you are faith men. Drugs are not allowed in this room. Do you understand? I worked for a long time. And I used to tell them, I said, my house, there will be no single, even paracetamol you cannot find in my house. Then I began to grow. Then I realized there is something called pregnancy. And there's something called routine drugs. I also realized that when a child is young, it is your faith is riding on. But don't gamble it. You get the point? Give the child the best medical care you can. Then speak over the child as much as you can. Because some of you say, why do we speak over children? Well, you guys are just deceiving yourself. Is the drugs doing the work? Is that what you really think? Have you not seen where they went to the hospital and mistakenly injected a child with the wrong thing and the child would die? So you are telling me the story of how when a baby were believing God for was in the hospital and was in coma, it was in oxygen or something. Over about two times, the nurse had brought the wrong injection. I was about to inject and say, it's the wrong one. When we say you should pray, pray. I remember. Do you understand what I'm saying? I knew a man that took his child to the hospital to be injected. Took a healthy child. They gave the child injection. The child came back crippled. They shut down the leg. Tell you real life things. When I say pray, we're not saying, when we say national prayer, we're not saying throw away your prayer life. Because if you do, you go know. He said, are you saying doctors are not good? I'm only saying they are humans. And I'm also saying that hospitals are not totally free from demonic activities. I get what I'm saying. They are not totally free from demonic activities. Just like many places are not free anyway. Hospitals are not free. So you are not careful there. They just play with your child. Or with your life. So be a man of faith. Is that okay? Be a man of prayer. Do your business. Be diligent with your business. Be diligent with your business. Apply wisdom. Read books. Take courses. Do all of that. But be a man of faith. As you are doing that, be speaking the word. That God's word is working for me. That the Lord has said, I will give to nations. I will lend to nations. And I will borrow from none. And Lord, I said, I'll be the first and not the last. So I believe that in my days that the word of God will work for me. You are speaking, you are investing. You are speaking, you are investing. When it's time to invest in a business, take like 24 hours speaking over yourself. The wisdom of God is working in my life. I am wise in the wisdom of God. I do not make foolish decisions. I do not make careless decisions. I'll make the right choices. I do not lose my money. My money multiplies. Nothing lost, nothing missing, nothing broken. Hallelujah. You say those things and Lord will guide you right. So believe God for every aspect of your life. While you do that, if there is cause for natural stuff to take place, allow it. Except, now hear this. Except, there is now an instruction, direct instruction from God, not to go the natural way. So, sometimes you can be sick and God will tell you, don't take that drug. I've had cases where people are sick and I tell them, don't go for surgery. Now, this is not just me talking from my head. You have to be sure you heard God. Don't go for the surgery. Stay. God will heal you. And sometimes if they go for that surgery, they will die. But Egan also has a story like that. When the wife was sick, she was meant to have a surgery, she said he kept feeling And the wife said, I've always felt that if I go for that surgery, I will die. So there are cases like that. Is someone following me this morning? When Paul and the rest were traveling on the high sea, Acts 27, somewhere along the line, the waves were so much. And the natural thing to do was that they just, you know, sorry, there were no waves. Everything was calm, rather. It wasn't that bad. And the sailors used their instruments to check, and they decided to continue. But Paul told them, do not move, let's stay. And he was speaking by the Spirit. And they ignored him. They followed the natural things. So, of course, they had a lot of issues on the way. When he got to verse 10, he now told them, sirs, you should have listened to me. You should have listened. Okay, it was in verse 10, he told them, I perceive that this boy should be with hurt. So let's not move. They ignored him and left. See the next verse. Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul. When there is a direct instruction from God, stay with the word. Faith is on the word. Do you get the point? Faith is obeying God. Now, when there is no such instruction, it's fine. So that some of you that have taken drugs this year, you should not begin to feel, I'm no longer a man of faith. No, you are. Once you are still in faith. Once you are still believing God. Once you are still speaking the word of God. Are you following me, friends? But there are cases where the Lord will tell you, don't take drugs. So don't take drugs. If you read that book I gave you last month, so you took God's word, you know, and all of that, he will tell the stories of where he went to pray for one man. And they had brought him in medical people. I told them, don't let them attend to that man. That if they attend to him, he will die. Do you understand? And the woman listened to him and told the doctors that they brought in specialists. To me, he said, don't let them not attend to him. So the woman told the specialist to wait. And the doctors prayed and healing began to happen. So that is faith. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Acting on divine instruction. So that's why whenever people say that in faith, I always ask them, what word are you acting on? Is there a scripture God lighted up your spirit? Is that something God told you? What are you acting on? Because if you are taking medication, for instance, you are still in faith once you are speaking the word. If you are reading for your exam, you are in faith. If you are working hard for your business, you are in faith. Once you are speaking, because faith is not idle, right? Once you are consciously confessing the word morning, afternoon, night, you are confessing the word, confessing the word, confessing the word. You get the point? Don't put your strength in horses or chariots. That's what the Bible said. But don't ignore horses and chariots. So go to the battle with horses and chariots, but don't put your strength in them. Except God now says, don't go with them. Like in Gideon's case. It's what following me this morning. In Gideon's case, God told them, just go with trumpets and with a pitcher. That was a direct instruction. Every other battle that they went for, they didn't do that. They went with horses and chariots, but they were not to put their strength in them. Are you following me? Trust in the Lord with all thy might. Lean not to your own understanding. He didn't say, use not your own understanding. What did he say? Lean not. So you can use your understanding. That's Proverbs 3. You can use your understanding, but you are not to lean on your understanding. To lean is to depend on it, but you should use it. It's just like me saying to you, read your book with everything in you, but don't lean on it. In other words, before you enter the hall, you speak the word and you pray. I say, Lord, I know that you are the one that will give me victory. That's why whenever a good Christian that is well taught succeeds in anything, he comes out and he will first tell you, God, help me. People that don't understand will say, forget, Sha. You are reading your book, you say, God, help me. But it was God that helped me at the end of the day. I watched where this lady that captained the Nigerian female team, you know, what's her name again? Ajibade. I watched her sharing her testimony at Mountain of Fire. You know, that lady is a very solid Christian. Very solid MFM member. Very solid. And she tells, you know, a lot of things going behind the scene. She was talking about how sometimes when her season was bad and she was injuries were dealing with her back to back. She will call some of the pastors and they will stand in faith, fasting and praying for her throughout the tournament. Now that is a lady. Now doesn't mean she doesn't train. She trains. Doesn't mean she doesn't listen to the dietitians in the camp. She will. Does she listen to the physiotherapists? She does. But she will still call them and say, pray. So use your faith and be wise. Did he bless you this morning? God wants to give you a good life. And God will give you a good life. He will give you a victorious life. I said he will give you a victorious life. He will give you a wholesome life. Not just a life where you are doing well financially, but financially, spiritually, maritally, academically, a wholesome life. I said a wholesome life. Let me charge you one last time before I close. Please, everybody that has heard me this morning, stretch your mind and reach out for and believe for the best. God has bigger things for you. I've already told you that more major is why he has those bigger plans for you, because when he gives you those things, it will aid the ministry. Stretch. Believe God. If you have one job, believe God for an extra one. If you have 10 million, believe God for an extra one. Extra 10 million. If you are having B's in your exam, believe God for A's. You are fighting to hit 2-1. Trust God for first class. Are you following me this morning? Believe God for better. Bigger and better. Believe him. Believe him. Use all you can. Read your books all you can. And what I'm preaching this morning is not God help those who help themselves. I don't believe in that statement. But that statement is always a statement of compromise. See, as God is doing for you, you'll be doing your own. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's always a statement of compromise, right? I need to, even though I've read, I have to copy from my neighbor in the hall because God helps those who help themselves. No, God is not even helping you at that point. You are just helping yourself. I'm not talking about compromise. I mean, work hard all you will. Put in your best. Dream for bigger. Bigger life, bigger career, bigger ministry. Are you following what I'm saying now? Bigger, bigger, bigger. And it will even get better. Are you following me? God has big plans for us. And you guys are going to be wealthy. Because it's a lot more. You know, I was telling my wife this morning, Redeemed just finished their Death Stranding of Holy Ghost conversion today. Did you see the number of persons in that place? If you don't understand it, let me explain it to you. The overflow auditorium is 1.5 kilometers by 1 kilometer. A kilometer is 9,800 and something feet. That's overflow. The main auditorium has 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. There were over 6 million seats on ground. And people were sitting on the floor yesterday night. You know what I'm saying? And when I saw that, I just smiled and said, that God is my God. So if I'm talking about, and it's not about, I'm not talking about, so you guys want to pack big crowd. Exactly what I'm saying. Don't you think so? To pack big crowd. One day, this whole Enugu will gather to worship. And God will use us for that. One day, the Lord said to me, one day, you will lead this southeastern Nigeria to pray. One day. It will not be long from now. I want you to be all the best you can be in your career. Be the best you can be in your endeavors. Even as you are throwing yourself to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dream bigger. Have bigger plans for ministry. When you think about this church, have bigger ones. When you think about yourself, have bigger plans. When you think about your career, have bigger plans. God wants bigger and better. And you can do it big and do it right. Are you blessed this morning? Lift your hands, let's give Jesus praise this morning all over this place.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.